3, 2, 1.
God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our
Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible is a live call-in talk show every Monday from 6 to 7 right here on this radio station. David Harris and Tom Moore will cover difficult topics of life and worship and will give a Bible answer for every question. We encourage you to tune in and call in every Monday night from 6 to 7. The number is 855-QA-BIBLE. Again, that's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Or email your questions and comments to questions@harrisonmoore.org. Our motto is, you've heard what men have to say, now listen to what the Bible has to say. Now join our hosts, David Harris and Tom Moore.
Welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. My name is Tom Moore, the gospel preacher for the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas. And filling in tonight for David Harris is Frank Briscoe, who's usually with us in the chat room area. But he's filling in for David tonight. He preaches for the Santo Church of Christ in Santo, Texas. And it is a delight to have you in our listening audience this evening. In writing about the early church, Luke had these words to say in Acts chapter 9 and verse 31. So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace, being edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit was multiplied. Notice that the people here that Luke is describing were those who were walking in the fear of the Lord. And in that context, you'll notice that it was that which was promoting church growth there in the first century. In writing to the church in Philippi, notice also what the Apostle Paul said in Philippians at chapter 2 in verse 12. So then, my beloved, even as you were always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You know, there are many in the world today who have a difficulty with the idea of work and salvation. But the Bible here says that there is a connection between work, fear the Lord, and salvation. And in just a moment, we're going to talk tonight about walking in the fear of the Lord and what that means. Even though there are many people in the world today who have no idea or who disregard that idea, we're still going to tell you what the Bible has to say. Tonight we're airing on KOME 95.3 FM out of Glen Rose, KATX 97.7 FM out of Eastland, KNNK 100.5 FM out of Hereford Canyon in Amarillo, KWBY 98.5 FM out of Stephenville, KDAV AM 1590 out of Lubbock, and KVOP AM 1090 in Plainview. We're also airing on internet radio, the gospelradionetwork.org. This program is also re-aired on the Gospel Radio Network on Tuesday mornings at 6 a.m. right here on that Gospel Radio Network. Our motto is, and has always been, you have heard what men have said. Now, let's listen to what the Bible has to say. And we'd like you to remember that this is a live call-in program. And the number to call if you'd like to get involved with a comment or a question, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. You can also email us a question. Perhaps there might be a topic that you would like for David and I to discuss. Or maybe there's a question that you We're unable to answer ask in the chat box, but you can email us a question, questions@harrisonmoore.org. That will go to David's email box and also to mine, and we'll be happy to address any questions or concerns that you might have. If you're involved in listening on the internet, you can go to the chat room at the Gospel Radio Network and get involved in a discussion that way as well. We're also on Twitter. You have questions or comments, just give us a hashtag, AskHarrisonMoore, or right now we're live on Periscope. You can follow our Periscope presentation by going to Tom Moore at Poppy Tutor and follow, and you'll always get an update as to when we're going on live. Again, this is a live call-in program. The number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Frank, you know, there is a concept of fear and trembling in connection with God that's not very popular in our world today, is it?
Well, so many times today, Tom, people, and when you speak concerning the fear and trembling, or you speak of God's righteous indignation, holiness, or justice, people will sometimes simply reply, well, my God is not like that. Mm-hmm. In other words, they have developed their own concept of God or what God should be like, and it's a one-sided God. Mm-hmm. They only see one aspect of God and have no inkling and no understanding at all of the other side of God.
Well, Frank, why do you think that there are people who only like to think about the goodness of God? You know, the Bible says, didn't Paul say, behold the goodness and the severity of God? Why is it, Frank, do you think that there are so many people who like to focus on the goodness of God but care little or neglect the severity of God?
Okay, the same idea is the fact that they don't recognize who it is that are the recipients of the love of God. Upon whom does God bestow his love?
Mm-hmm.
And they don't want to consider the wrath of God or the severity of God. Mm-hmm. You know, there's one whole chapter given over in the Revelation letter, chapter 16, that deals with nothing but the wrath of God. And for whatever reason, people seem to have a great difficulty of trying to harmonize the idea of God is love and that God is also a God of wrath.
Mm-hmm. You know, and we think about this idea of the love of God versus the wrath of God. And as you said, there are a lot of people who don't understand that, or perhaps do not want to understand both sides of God, the love of God and also the wrath of God. You know, Frank, I believe that we're living in a day when our nation as a whole has no inkling, no idea, no concern about the wrath of God and walking in the fear of God. You know, when I think about the fear of God, people don't want to know about the fear of God. They only want to know about the love of God because they want to keep doing things their own way, don't they? When they think about God's wrath or fearing God, then they realize there are some things in their life that aren't right. And as a result, they ignore that concept of God.
Okay. And I think probably somewhere this starts with somewhat of a reaction to the fact that much preaching in times gone by has been given over to hell and fire and brimstone. And while that's all there, and it's all biblical, this God tells us about this, perhaps it was by some overemphasized, and we have the pendulum effect. Mm-hmm. You know, people want to get away from a God of wrath.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to think only of those upon whom God bestows his love. But you know, the Bible is very clear about those that are going to be the subjects of the wrath of God. And as you mentioned a moment ago, maybe one of the reasons people don't like to think about it is because of where they might stand in the presence of God.
You know, concerning the hell and brimstone and fire preaching, you know, many try to apologize for that kind of preaching, but there's no apology needed. Because when you look at the prophets of the Old Testament, men like Jeremiah, men like Amos, these were men who were indeed hellfire and brimstone preaching. And I really think, Frank, that we need a little bit more of that today. But people who are living ungodly lives, who don't want to be abide by God's wishes, they want to, as you mentioned, swing to the underside of the pendulum and only want to talk about the love and the mercy and the grace of God. But there's also the wrath, the justice, and the judgment of God also involved in the character of God.
And I think some of that, Tom, is seen in the society and time which we live, where sin and the things of sin are no longer considered or characterized as sin. We've renamed them and changed them. And so we don't want to think of the wrath of God. But Paul, when he wrote to the church at Rome, he said, "But unto them that are factious and obey not the truth, but obey unrighteousness, shall be wrath and indignation, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that worketh evil."
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you're working evil, you don't want to think about the wrath of God.
Exactly. And because of the wrath of God, we ought to be walking in the fear of God. You know, it might be possible, Frank, that some have gone to the extreme and always preaching about the judgment and the wrath of God. And there are many people who have, on the other hand, have no concept of fear and trembling as it relates to a Christian. Could this be why there are a lot of, as relates to God, could this be why there are a lot of people who are apathetic in their service because they don't fear the consequences of disobeying God?
Okay, if we do not believe in a God of wrath, if there is not a God who is going to hold one responsible, why should we fear it?
Exactly.
This is, I think, the concept that so many people have, is the reason that they live the way that they live and do the things that they do, and as you said, maybe even in the church, the reason that there are many that are apathetic, that are not really excited about serving God, they don't fear God.
Exactly. You know, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28, "And be not afraid of them that kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." So Jesus says very plainly that there is a fear. And notice he makes the parallel being afraid of man and being afraid of God. We ought not to be afraid of man because they cannot destroy the soul. We should fear God because of the possibility of eternal damnation if we're not abiding by the will of God. And so one of the reasons why I think that our world is in the state that it's in, and why there's so much immorality in our world today, and why many of our politicians are so liberal in their theology and in their thinking, is because there is not that fear of the Lord. Well, Frank, in this lesson tonight, and listeners, we hope to accomplish three things. We're going to talk about the defining of the fear of the Lord, and I believe we have a caller. Caller, give us your first name and question or comment, please.
This is George.
George, okay. What's on your mind, George?
I'm sorry?
What's on your mind, George?
Oh, well, I was just wanted to add my 2 cents worth regarding the conversation that they have going on right now.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I think a lot of people don't realize that when Jesus died for our sins and you know, just kind of gave us that freedom to live our will, they take it to a whole nother level. And they say, well, Jesus already died for my sins. I can't do, you know, there's nothing I can't do that is going to keep him from loving me. And with each new day, there's a new grace, there's a new day.
Mm-hmm.
However, just because he died for our sins doesn't mean that you should be doing wrong over and over and over again. There comes a point where Jesus is going to say, okay, look, I gave you the freedom, but doesn't mean that you have to do it over and over. And I think that's what they, what a lot of non-believers and even some believers feel, that because of that and knowing that, they don't do the right thing and serve in the church and serve others that are less fortunate than we are, serving the homeless, serving at the food pantries, or serving in some way, in some capacity, giving and tithing. And I think that is a problem that is in all our churches at this point. And there's a lot of pastors that are in it for the numbers of the church more so than the Word of God. And it's sad to see pastors do the smoke and the lights and the big worship band and the rocking and the rolling, but they're there for to make themselves look good. There's a lot of false preaching going on in our churches these days, and I think that's one of the major reasons why we are where we are with some of the believers and non-believers, because they're not getting true word.
Exactly. You know, there are a lot of so-called preachers out there who are more concerned, as you mentioned, about entertainment than they are about preaching the love, the goodness and the severity of God. You know, God has given us the freedom to choose, but so many people have chosen to always do their own will, right, George?
Absolutely. You know, I fear, I'm a Christian, I've been on my walk for 8 years, and I still fall short. I'm not perfect, but I try to be as Christ-like as I can each and every day. I try to serve others and try to be nice to everybody, not be judgmental. I'm not perfect, and I still fall short with selfishness at times. And even then, knowing that I shouldn't be selfish, I feel like if I am, I got to pay for that, and I'm going to hell.
Yeah.
You know, and just little things like that scare the crap out of me.
Okay, you know, George,
my language, but...
You know, George, what you're talking about is not a real new problem. You go back into the Bible, for example, the first verse of the sixth chapter of Romans, where he says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? That if you put that in the context of the last chapter and what Paul is beginning there, the idea was that these people were saying, well, we're no longer afraid of God, and we're going to live any way we want to, and the grace of God will just abound and take care of it. And Paul's answer is, God forbid. That can't be.
You know, that's right. When we are not teaching the fear of the Lord, and when people are not walking in the fear of the Lord, then they just think they have freedom to do pretty much whatever they want to. You make some really good...
And that's why...
Go ahead.
There's a lot of debauchery going on in our world today, in our society here in the United States. You have all these, you know, teenagers and doing drugs and doing drinking alcohol and having sex and getting pregnant and, you know, all that. I mean, a lot of that does come from home too. You can't, you know, it all comes from the root. And if the parents are not involved in church or involved in some type of biblical teaching to where they have standards and morals, then of course it's going to happen. But if it's not being taught in the church, then where do we go? Where do we send these non-believers and even some believers? Where do we continue to grow? That's the question. One, because we all come to a point where we stop growing and we stop learning because it gets stagnant.
We all know that. George, when people get away from the fear of the Lord, they live the way that they want to and fear no consequences for what they're doing. And unless we fear God and recognize, as Tom read a moment ago from Romans chapter 11, verse 21, behold the goodness and the severity of God. There is a reason for the goodness of God. There are those who receive the goodness of God. There is also a reason for the severity of God and those who are going to receive the severity of God. What is happening in our country and what's happening in much of religion today is we're trying to convince ourselves that God won't really punish me. God won't really...
That is so,
do what he said that we'd do. And if we don't fear him, we won't fear his word.
Right. And like I said earlier, you know, I've been on my walk for 8 years, and I'm not perfect, but I fear that all the blessings that I've received to this point and future blessings, because I am tithing and I am serving in my church, and I'm part of my worship team, and I'm doing what God has called me to do. And even if I stumble and I fall and I, you know, I might, a bad word might slip out, or I fear, like, all that is going to be taken away from me. Like, I feel like I'm going to be condemned. Mm-hmm. And it's scary. And I don't understand how people can't live like that. You know, it's like my pastor said this week at church, you know, we were talking about tithing. You know, a lot of people say, well, I can't afford to tithe. You can't afford not to tithe.
Yeah.
Because the blessing, it comes from the Lord. As you give, you know, as you give cheerfully, he will bless you.
Exactly. Like, and you, no, we can't afford not to fear the Lord, right, George? And that's
exactly.
That's our whole point tonight. George, I really appreciate you calling in. You made some good points, and we really appreciate you being one of our listeners.
I appreciate you. Like, I listen here in the Granbury area on 95.3 KOMI. And mm-hmm. again, I'm so honored to be on the show and blessed to have this outlet to ask questions, and you're doing a great job, and I love it, and thank you so much for allowing me to be a part of it.
Well, appreciate you calling in, George. Thank you very much for the confidence. Thank you, George. Well, you know, George makes some good comments, and tonight what we're going to do is talk about some of those things George was concerned about, because we're going to talk about, you know, we're going to define exactly what the fear of the Lord is. And we're going to point out why the fear of the Lord is so important to a Christian, and then some ways to develop a healthy fear of the Lord without going to extremes.
You know, I think one of the things that George was pointing out, and that we really need to consider, and we will later in this lesson, if we do not have fear of the Lord, we won't pay any attention to his word.
Exactly.
You know, why is it that when you can turn to God's word and read specific instructions, and people will say, well, I don't think you have to do that. They don't fear the Lord. You don't fear the Lord and then tell him, but I'm not going to do what you told me to do. And so as we get toward the, as we have time toward the end of the lesson, and start looking a little bit about the fear of the Lord in regards to his word, I think we can see the absolute necessity of our fearing the Lord and obeying the commands he's given.
You know, when we think about the fear of the Lord, I can't help but think about my earthly dad. You know, I love my dad. My dad loves me. But I also, when I was younger, feared my dad. I feared disappointing him. I feared the consequences of disobeying him. Yet I loved him, and at the same time, I feared him. And Frank, is that not the same way we ought to view our Father in heaven? We love him because of what he has done for us, but at the same time, we fear him, we fear disappointing him, and we fear the consequences of disobeying him. And that's why our nation is in the state that it's in, because they no longer fear the consequences of disobedience.
Okay. As you mentioned, your relationship with your earthly father, the things that you loved him and he loved you, there were things that he told you either to do or not to do, and because you loved him and because you feared him, you obeyed him.
Exactly. We talk about this idea of fearing the Lord. Let's do a little definition about fear. In the Hebrew, the word is yara, and is used in the Old Testament to describe fear and terror. It's used to describe awesome or terrifying thing, an object of causing fear. It's used to describe the fear of God, respect, reverence, or piety. In the Greek language, the word phobos, from which we get our English word phobia, is used to describe fear and dread and terror, or that which strikes terror. Thus, fear has reference to dread, terror, and respect. And so we talk about fearing the Lord, we are to have dread, terror, and fear. Now, Frank, in connection with the fear of the Lord, it is often defined as reverence or awe. But, Frank, does that alone by itself go far enough in describing what it means to walk in the fear of the Lord?
Okay, while the fear certainly involves awe when we come into the presence of God and respect for God, I don't think that that's going as far as the statement that the Bible makes about our living in the fear of the Lord and fear and trembling. In fact, when you look at reverence and awe and what it implies, it doesn't quite go with the idea of the trembling, the quaking that one would feel when he's brought into the presence of the Lord.
Exactly. Now, the number to call tonight, if you'd like to get in on the discussion with a question or a comment, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Tonight we're talking about walking in the fear of the Lord.
You know, there's a great illustration for this in the Old Testament, 6th chapter of the book of Isaiah. Tom, you remember the passage there where Isaiah begins by saying, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord." And then a little bit later, "Then said I, woe is me, I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, Jehovah of hosts." How did Isaiah feel when he got that vision of the Lord?
Well, there was a dread, a terror, and a respect for God.
All in one place.
Exactly
all
right.
In one place.
And so the fear of the Lord must include a place for trembling. Even Paul indicated, as we read a moment ago, in Philippians at chapter 2 and verse 12, by combining the word fear and trembling. And so fear is more than just having reverence or awe for God, even though that's included. But involved in that is the word trembling. Now that word trembling, Frank, is very interesting. It comes from the Greek word tremos, from which we get our English word tremors, and means a trembling or a quaking with fear. And so just like one likely would tremble in the presence of one who could take their life, so Jesus taught us to fear the Lord. You remember, Frank, in the book of Daniel where I just lost the king's name, Belshazzar, he saw that hand coming up there, and it says that his knees smote together. There is a man who was afraid. And you know, in reality, Frank, when we think about the power of God and his justice and what he would do to us for being disobedient, we ought to get the Belshazzar disease, and our knees should smote together in trembling and fear when we think about the consequences of disobedience.
Absolutely. You know, the fear of the Lord should include a place for trembling.
Mm-hmm. Exactly right. And you know, a proper fear of the Lord, though, would also include reverence and awe. It would also include being afraid to offend God in any way. You know, as I mentioned a moment ago, I was afraid of disappointing my dad. I was afraid of how he would feel about me. And I was afraid also of the consequences of disobeying my dad. The same type of respect and fear ought to be for our Heavenly Father. Afraid that we might disappoint him, and afraid of the consequences of disobeying him. You know, the Bible points this out very clearly, Frank, in the book of Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 26 and 27, it says, "For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment, and a fierceness of fire which shall devour the adversaries. And you drop down to verses 30 and 31. For we know him that said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God.
Yes, and two chapters later, he tells us why that would be such a fearful thing. In chapter 12, verse 28 and 29, he said, wherefore, receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us have grace whereby we may offer service, God-pleasing to God with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire.
The number to call tonight, if you'd like to get involved in a discussion with a question or a comment, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Tonight we're talking about walking in the fear of the Lord. That's what the first century Christians did in Acts 9 and verse 31 that we noted a moment ago. They were walking in the fear of the Lord. Philippians 2 verse 12, as we noted earlier, talked about how that we are to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Matthew 10 and verse 28, we ought to fear God instead of being afraid of man. And we've been talking about how that fear is more than just having awe and respect. You know, and Frank, it seems to me that there are a lot of people that that's what they want to only think about when they think about the regard of fearing God, that we're not should be afraid of him like we're afraid of some monster, but only to have reverence and awe for him. And as we mentioned, that is a part of fear, but that by no means describes all there is about fear.
And we must have fear when we realize what he can do if we're disobedient.
Exactly right. You know, and that should make everyone fearful. And Frank, I'm afraid that that's what our world is lacking. That is what our present nation is lacking. That is what our present leadership in the government is lacking. The fear of the Lord, the fear of offending God, the fear of disobeying God, and they're more concerned with doing things their own way. And as a result of that, we're finding ourselves in a very in harm's way in our world and in our nation, because there is a lack of walking in the fear of the Lord. Well, Frank, let's turn over, and everybody who's there in our audience who has a Bible, turn over to the book of Proverbs. Frank and I are going to spend a few minutes here in the book of Proverbs, and we're going to look at several passages that talk about the fear of the Lord. And also in that, we're going to notice the importance then of fearing the Lord.
Okay. Each one of these passages that we're going to be looking at are going to tell us the results, or what we will receive, or what it will do for us when we have in our life the fear of the Lord.
In Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7, it says, the fear of Jehovah is the beginning of knowledge. Now, Frank, that's interesting, because if we fear the Lord, then we're going to want to know what we need to know to be pleasing to him. You know, if I'm afraid of displeasing God, then I'm going to want to know what it takes to please God. And so the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge.
Okay. And a little bit later in the same book, Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 13, he said, the fear of Jehovah is to hate evil, pride and arrogance, and the evil way, and the perverse mouth do I hate. That the fear of Jehovah leads us to hate evil, mm-hmm. and to hate the way of wickedness, to hate the way of the world.
That's sure lacking in our world today, isn't it, Frank?
Absolutely.
In Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 27, there Solomon says, the fear of Jehovah prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. Now, Frank, that's a general rule that we find in the Bible. And, you know, when a person is going to fear the Lord. He is then going to be doing the right things. And when you're doing the right things, more than likely your life is going to be prolonged because you're not going to be involved in those things that shorten life. Drug use, alcohol, tobacco, illicit sex, and you name it, there's all kinds of things that come as a result of things that are sinful. And yet when we follow the Lord and fear Him, it promotes longevity of life.
Absolutely. And again, a little bit later in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 26, 27, he said, "In the fear of Jehovah," or "in the fear of the Lord, is strong confidence, and His children shall have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, that one may depart from the snares of death." Two or three things in just those two verses there about the fear of the Lord. Strong confidence. You know, if I fear the Lord, then I have absolute confidence that I'm doing the right things. Mm-hmm. I'm living the right way. And consequently, he said, it will help us to depart from the snares, from those things that befall us, from those things that would stop us from being in the presence of God.
Exactly. Now, the number to call tonight, if you'd like to get in on the discussion with a question or a comment, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Tonight, we're talking about the importance of walking in the fear of the Lord. We're presently looking in the book of Proverbs and looking at some passages that show us the importance of walking in the fear of the Lord. We're presently going to be looking in Proverbs chapter 16 in verse 6, where Solomon says, "By mercy and truth iniquity is atoned for, and by the fear of Jehovah men depart from evil." Now, that's a pretty clear statement there, Frank, that when you fear the Lord, you fear the consequences of disobeying God, then you're going to stay away from evil. You're going to stay away from that which is displeasing to God, and that makes only sense, doesn't it? And we live in a world where people don't fear God, and as a result, they're involved in evil. They're not willing to depart from evil. But a man who fears God is going to stay away from those things that brings His righteous indignation upon us.
Okay. And then again in Proverbs 19 and verse 23, he said, "The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that has it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited by evil." If you are living your life in the fear of the Lord, you're staying away from evil. Mm-hmm. You're staying away from the source of evil. You're staying away from the place of evil. Evil is not going to visit you in the sense that he uses the word there, because you fear the Lord and you're going to shut the door to evil.
You're not going to open the door to evil in your life.
You're not going to let it come into your life.
One final passage here in the book of Proverbs is Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 4, where it says, "The reward of humility and the fear of Jehovah is riches, honor, and life." If we will fear the Lord, the Lord's going to take care of us, isn't He?
Absolutely.
We're going to be honored, and we are going to have longer life. All of that comes by fearing the Lord. Again, the number to call tonight, if you'd like to get involved in a discussion with a question or a comment, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Tonight we're talking about walking in the fear of the Lord. We have been involved in discussing and defining the fear of the Lord, and how that the fear of the Lord is more than just awe and reverence and respect. But when you look at the definitions of the Hebrew word and the Greek word, there is terror involved. There is trembling involved in fearing the Lord. And we also talked about earlier in the program that there are a lot of people who are not really concerned with fearing the Lord. And there are those who say, "Well, my God is not like that. Well, if their God is not like that, then they don't have the God of the Bible.
Absolutely.
And they have not read the Bible and understand the goodness and the severity of God. And so, Frank, when we put all of the verses together that we looked at in the book of Proverbs a moment ago, we notice that without the fear of the Lord, we close ourselves to the treasures of God's wisdom and knowledge. Without the fear of the Lord, we are going to flirt with evil and be conquered by it. Without the fear of the Lord, our lives are likely to be shortened by our refusal to heed God's word, by suffering various diseases and things of that nature that come from sin. Without the fear of the Lord, we will not come to know the love of God that gives us assurance and confidence of our salvation. Without the fear of the Lord, when falling into sin, we will not be motivated to repent and turn to God. And without the fear of the Lord, Frank, we will not be motivated to truly work out our own salvation with fear and trembling.
Absolutely. And, you know, as we've been trying to emphasize from the beginning, that one of the reasons that people don't want to fear the Lord is because of the way that they live and what God has said. Well, for example, a passage in the Colossian letter. He said, "Put to death, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry, for which thing's sake cometh the wrath of God upon the sons of disobedience." Well, if you're living like that, you don't want to think of the wrath of God. You would rather think God is love and he's going to overlook me. Mm-hmm. He's going to overlook my living this way. And yet the other side of God is the wrath of God, and it's going to come upon children of disobedience.
Exactly. Without the fear of the Lord, we cannot be pleasing to God. In Isaiah chapter 66, verses 1 and 2, "Thus saith Jehovah, heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. What manner of house will ye build unto me? And what place shall be my rest? For all these things hath my hand made, and so all these things came to be, saith Jehovah. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and he that trembleth at my word." Frank, in just a moment, we're going to talk about how important it is for us to see the connection between fearing God and trembling at his word.
Absolutely. You know, the only the person who trembles at his word has God's promise to receive his tender mercy. You know, the psalmist tells us this in Psalms 103, verse 17 and 18. And so, unless we tremble at his word, at the instruction that the Lord gives, we're not going to receive his promise. Jesus put it, same thing, a little bit different. He said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall inherit the kingdom of God, but he that doeth the will of my Father." We're going to have to listen to him if we're going to do his will.
In the few minutes that we have left, Frank, let's conclude tonight by talking about how that we can develop the fear of the Lord. Mm-hmm. Now remember, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. When we think about the idea of developing the fear of the Lord, that's going to come, Frank, as we involve ourselves in the Word of God. You know, just as faith comes by hearing the Word of God, Romans 10 and verse 17, so also the fear of the Lord comes as we know more about the Bible. You know, Frank, we can never have a proper fear and respect for God until we have a proper respect for the Word of God. And those who speak only of God's love and not God's wrath, they don't know very much about the Bible, do they?
Absolutely. You know, in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 10 through 13, and Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, in the set time of the year of release, in the Feast of Tabernacles, when all Israel is come to appear before Jehovah thy God in the place which he shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Assemble the people, the men and the women and the little ones, and the sojourner that is within the gates, that they may hear and that they may learn and fear Jehovah your God. You know, the hearing of the Word of God, the listening to the Word of God, is that which develops the respect, the awe, and the fear that we are to have of Him. It comes from the way we treat His Word.
You know, and we live in a day where I believe this idea is lost on many people. Instead of looking to the Word of God and having it read and the study of God's Word, people just sit back and listen to their so-called preacher who espouses just about anything he wants to, and people really aren't listening to the Word of God. You have a lot of people, Frank, a lot of men out there who are preaching, so-called preaching, who talk for 30 or 45 minutes and yet who set forth very little from the Scripture. It is the Scripture, not man's idea, not man's philosophy, but it is the Scripture that promotes the fear of the Lord. And notice that in the passage you read there, Frank, the men, the women, and the children. They were all being taught the Word of God, and they come to develop, when they observe God's law, a proper respect, a proper trembling, a fear of the Word of God.
You know, there's another just little thought that comes out of that same verse. He says, and the sojourner, if you've got a visitor, you bring him with you, that he may also hear the Word of God. How many people do we have in religion in the church today that if they have a visitor, they stay home with them?
Yeah, or they have a visitor in the audience, and they say, well, we don't want you to have any hard preaching today because there's going to be a visitor in the audience.
Yeah.
Well, here's the preaching. Well, there was a visitor, and that preaching promoted fear of the Lord. Frank, that's hailstone, and that's fire and brimstone preaching right there.
Absolutely.
And that caused people to fear the Lord. We think about this idea of the Word of God and how it helps us to gain a healthy respect for the fear of the Lord. This is really seen by what Paul wrote in the book of Romans. In Romans chapter 2, beginning there in verse 4. In Romans chapter 2, beginning verse 4, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance, but after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasures up for thyself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his works. To them that by patience and well-doing seek for glory and honor and corruption, eternal life, but unto them that are factious and obey not the truth, but obey unrighteousness, shall be wrath and indignation, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that worketh evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek, but glory and honor and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for there is no respect of persons with God. Frank, there we see the goodness and the severity of God. The reason why we should fear Him, because of the consequences of disobeying Him.
The Word of God, when it's properly used and maintained, we have a proper balance of it. We can avoid the extremes and let God guide and direct us. You know, Peter, in 2 Peter chapter 3, talking concerning the end of matter, end of the world, long passage there, beginning of verse 7, he said, "But the heavens that now are, and the earth, by the same word, have been stored up for fire, being reserved for destruction of and judgment of ungodly men." You know, this is what's going to come. This is what's going to happen. And as he continued in that, he said, "But forget not one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering to youward, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall be dissolved with fervent heat. The earth and the works therein shall be burned up. Seeing that these things are thus all to be dissolved, what manner of person ought ye to be in all holy living and godliness, looking for and earnestly desiring the coming of the day of God, by reason of which the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, the elements shall melt with fervent heat. But according to his promise, we look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness." Both sides described what is for those who are obedient unto God and what is going to be for those who do not fear him.
You know, when we think about developing the proper fear of the Lord, we've also got to realize that we have to maintain the proper balance. To avoid extremes, we need to read all of God's Word. You know, some read only the portions, Frank, that reveal God's love and mercy and have no fear of the Lord. Others emphasize hell, fire, and brimstone passages and know nothing about God's everlasting loving kindness. One of them developed permissiveness that belittles God's holiness and justice. The other develops a psychosis of terror that forgets God's grace and compassion. But Frank, even the passage that we read a moment ago in Romans and 2 Peter, they talk about both the grace and the mercy of God as well as the punishment and the indignation of God. And as we have emphasized many times throughout this program so far tonight, there is God's love and compassion, but there's also God's condemnation and punishment upon evildoers. And that's the reason why we need to be involved in fearing the God. And so we need to be careful how we use the Word of God, but we have to use it. We have to be understanding both the goodness and the severity of God.
And you do not fear God if you do not fear and respect His Word.
Exactly, and that's where it all begins, doesn't it?
And so many people in the world today that pay very little attention to the Word of God or simply do not believe it or do not accept it, certainly don't follow it, because they neither respect it nor fear it.
Now, we have a lot of so-called Bible scholars out there who know very little about the Bible. A lot of people who claim to be religious, who claim to be walking after the Lord, who are doing this or that, but have very little knowledge of the Word of the Lord, and as a result, they're lacking in the fear of the Lord. You know, the psalmist said in Psalm 89 and verse 7, "God is very terrible in the counsel of the holy ones, and to be feared above all them that are around about him." God is to be feared. It's more than just reverence and awe, but there is to be a quaking, a trembling at the very idea of God and disappointing him and the consequences of disobeying him. That should make us shake in our boots.
Absolutely. And as we look at this, to fear the Lord and to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, the warnings that are necessary and the warnings that are written for us, For example, in the Hebrew letter, Hebrews chapter 4, the first few verses, two verses in particular, the fourth chapter, he said, "Let us fear, therefore, lest happily a promise being left of entering into his rest, any one of you should seem to come short of it. For indeed we have had good tidings preached unto us, even as also they. But the word of hearing did not profit them, because it was not united by faith with them that heard." They didn't put into practice what they heard from God.
It's very necessary that we be involved in the fearing of the Lord. You know, and that's why he says in verse 11, "Let us therefore give diligence to enter into that rest, that no man fall from the same example of disobedience." We're fearful of losing our salvation. We're fearful of disappointing God. We're fearful of the consequences of disobeying God. And so that motivates us to be more diligent in obeying the Lord. Before we make our final concluding comments tonight, I'd like to remind you of our additional sponsors of this radio program. We're being sponsored by the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas, the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon, Texas, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, the Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, Texas, the Mount Vernon Church of Christ in Mount Vernon, Texas, the Ninth and Main Church of Christ in San Angelo, the Windmill Church of Christ in Weatherford, Texas, and also the Santo Church of Christ in Santo, Texas. Tonight we've been talking about walking in the fear of the Lord. And without the proper fear of the Lord, we're not going to be involved in working out our own salvation. We were not going to be involved in laboring to enter in into that heavenly rest. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, in verse 1, notice there what the Apostle Paul said. He says, "Having therefore these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from the defilement of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." Frank, give us a final comment about our program tonight in the fearing of the Lord.
Okay, the purpose and the thing that we wanted to accomplish most of all in the lesson this evening is to recognize the fear of the Lord, that it is awe, it is respect, but it goes a little bit deeper than that. Mm-hmm. It is a recognition of the power and the almightiness of God. Perhaps we should have thought a little bit about the first chapter of the Revelation letter, where John said, "I heard a voice, I turned to see the voice." And then he described the voice that he heard, and it was the Almighty. It was the one who was victorious. It was the power of God that he wanted us to see there. So what we need to do, and what we wanted to do, is to recognize the absolute importance of the fear of the Lord, because this is what is going to cause us to strive to do what he tells us to do.
Exactly.
No one that doesn't fear the Lord are going to be very anxious or careful to do what he tells them to do.
You've been listening tonight to the Harrison Moore Expedition of the Bible. We hope that we have helped you to understand the importance of walking in the fear of the Lord. We encourage you to listen in each Monday evening at 6 p.m. right here on this radio station.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father.
Thank you for tuning in to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. This is a live call-in talk show discussing the important topics and current events threatening our Christian faith. Please join us every Monday night from 6 to 7 p.m. and call in with any questions or comments at 855-QA-BIBLE. That's 855-QA-BIBLE, or email your questions and comments to questions@harrisonmoore.org. Our motto is, you've heard what men have to say, now listen to what the Bible has to say. Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible, every Monday night from 6 to 7 on this radio station.
Great is thy faithfulness.